increased pounding on the door, is fast losing a temper that has been extremely tried today. "Please, please, Char, give me the key before Noble is forced to take drastic measures." Charlotte glanced from the squirming child to the look of concern in Gillian's emerald eyes. Tears had always worked well for her in the past. Perhaps if she could work up a few, her cousin would see how serious she was. She waited for the peculiar prickling sensation to indicate that her cornflower blue eyes would soon be becomingly framed in a pool of tears, and allowed a note of raw desperation to creep into her voice. "Jilly, I need you. I truly do. You're all I have left. There's no one else left who will receive me. Papa saw to that. I have nowhere to go and no money. I sold what remained of Mama's jewels just to buy a few travelling gowns and passage to England on a merchant ship. You're the only one in the family who will acknowledge me, and now you are sailing to the West Indies." Her voice cracked as she brushed at the wetness on her cheeks, surprised to find her crocodile tears had suddenly become real. "Oh, Jilly, please stay. Please help me. I've never been alone. I don't know what to do." Gillian shifted the child in her arms and squeezed Charlotte's hand. "You know I will do everything I can to help you." Charlotte shrieked in joy and hugged her cousin, widdly child and all. "I knew you wouldn't leave me." A tremendous splintering noise reverberated through the room as Noble Britain, known by the, in Charlotte's mind, understated sobriquet of the Black Earl, burst through the doors, followed by a tall, bewigged man with a hook where his left hand should have been, and two smaller footmen in livery. "Are you all right?" the Earl asked his countess, rushing to her side. She smiled reassuringly. "Of course we are. Charlotte just needs a moment or two of my time, and then I will be ready to be off." She forestalled protests on both her husband's and cousin's lips by thrusting the squirming child into his father's arms just before she grasped Charlotte firmly and tugged her toward a nearby emerald and gold damask couch. "While you're taking Dante for his whittle, I'll speak with Char. Crouch, please take Lady Charlotte's things up to the blue suite. She'll be staying here for a time. Dickon, Charles, tell the other carriages to start. We'll be along directly." Noble shot his wife a questioning look before settling a glare on Charlotte, who was profoundly thankful it was a short glare, as she never could stand up to one of the Earl's scowls. Both father and child hastened away when the latter announced his intention to whittle right there in the library. "You have 5 minutes until I must leave," Gillian told her cousin sternly. "You are welcome to stay here for as long as you like. Now, what else can I do to help you?" Charlotte's heart underwent a peculiar motion that felt suspiciously like it dropped into her jean half-boots. "You're leaving? You're still leaving me?" "I have no choice," was the calm reply. A burst of pain flared to life within Charlotte's breast at her cousin's defection, but a moment's consideration led her to admit that Gillian really could not remain behind while her husband and children sailed to their coffee plantation. She shoved down the pain of abandonment and focused her energies on explaining what a shambles her life had become.
"Very well. You received my letter that mentioned Antonio died of sweating sickness in November?"
Gillian nodded. "And you wanted to leave Villa Abelantia because you had a difficult time with his family, but you mentioned going to Paris, not home to England." Charlotte's eyes threatened to fill once more with scalding tears that she suspected would leave her with unattracted, swollen red eyes and a nose that would require much attention with a handkerchief.
"And I don't even have a handkerchief anymore,"
she wailed, unable to stop the tears. Charlotte seldom had recourse to real tears, but they were just as uncomfortable as she recalled.
"Everything's gone. Everything. The Contessa took it all for her two horrid, fat daughters. She said I wouldn't need my fine gowns when I was in mourning for Antonio. She said I'd have to go live on a tiny little farm in the mountains and tend a bunch of smelly goats."